I really appreciate that expression. I think that's very important because it is easy to become imbalanced with what things that are truly scripturally essential to practicing Christian living. We want to be behaving in a way that is suitable, that matches up with the purpose of the church that we have been put into, the fact that we have been saved as individuals, the fact that we have been connected to this community that the Lord Jesus is building that brings glory to God, the Father. And there's another expression also where Paul received, and it's in 1 Corinthians 15, which presents the essential tenets of the gospel. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that Christ died for our sins, and so on, the verses that are there in 1 Corinthians 15. So it's not the only thing that Christ received, although he clearly did receive it, especially about the breaking of bread, the remembrance. But if I might say, that's all it is a remembrance of the Lord Jesus, because that's what he asked. And I use that phrase very hesitantly, as if, because I don't want it to sound like we think it's something very low. That's all it is, that he asked us to do that. But in fact, every part of living the Christian life and living as a part of the church, that's all it is obedience to the Lord Jesus. And in fact, we should say that's what it is. It's way up here. It's not that's all it is way down here. That's something we walk on. It's that's all it is, that it's way up there. It's what we reach to do. And when we see how the church in the book of Acts began to live that out, look, it appears from Acts chapter 2, they were breaking bread every day. It was a thrill to just say, let's remember what the Lord Jesus did. Let's have the bread. Let's have the wine. Let's remember it. Just what a thrill. And then it evidently, based on Acts chapter 20, it seems that it became a weekly remembrance on the Sunday, the resurrection day of the week, when the Lord Jesus was raised on the first day of the week. And that was the occasion to remember his death and also the time of his resurrection. But it's, as John was saying, we can produce, we can lead ourselves to conclusions that may be unintended if we emphasize one thing to the detriment of something else. And we want to emphasize all that the church is. We want to emphasize all that the Christians in Acts and in the epistles were taught, because that's how the body of Christ, that's how the church of God should appear. That's the role of the body of Christ and the church of God in this world. And just to maybe latch on to what Sam mentioned earlier about this idea of the role, to continue on that, I wonder if we might say that in all instances, the big umbrella thought is that the church is for the purpose of glorifying God, bringing glory to God in some manner. And then when we look at the aspect of the church that we might be considering at a particular moment, that helps us to identify a sort of a special purpose connected with that character. When we think of the church as the bride of Christ, that implies a purpose of a companionship with the Lord Jesus, and the fact that we are his, and that we complement him, as was mentioned in Ephesians. And also part of that is in Revelation, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the bride of Christ is arrayed in fine linen, the righteousnesses of the saints. Part of the bride of Christ is to look out for Christ's interest in this world and to conduct ourselves in a way that is suitable for that. And we look at the church as the house of God. We have other things. We look at the fact that we are each living stones, or that we are each royal priests or holy priests. These things are all, they all have special purposes connected with them. But the global purpose, the large-scale umbrella purpose, is that we're here for the glory of God, both individually but especially collectively. The fact that we are put together, linked into a community of believers, a church, a gathering of believers together with the purpose of glorifying him. And how can I live in a way that would be that would give an opportunity for someone to blaspheme what God has given if my life is below that standard? We want to just bring ourselves up to that standard, and any conversation we have with any Christian, this is the standard we have to put ourselves to, and just share it as this is the teaching of the Scriptures.
I wonder, looking to it, the Lord's Supper, and yes, we get in the trap of calling it the highest, you know, but the Lord put such emphasis on it. I mean, he never once asked the saints to remember his birth, did he not? Yet most Christians will be more faithful to remembering his birth, but he did ask to remember him in his death. I just want to put a little emphasis on this. There may be many in this room who, unlike 1 Corinthians 5, you don't disqualify, and yet you haven't put an emphasis on yourself, what this means to the Lord. That he would have all his saints come together and remember him in that request. And if you're sitting in this room and you've been putting it off, you know, why are you putting it off? Unless there's something that needs to be cleared up. But how important this is to him. How am I going to enter this? Or, you know, what is this to the Lord? Now, to guard us against, guard us against, well, just the Lord's Supper. And that's the highest expression, so I break bread on Sunday, as our brother John brought. If you look at this verse 42, these first saints never put one meeting above the other. In fact, I think from the original Greek, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's not even a comma in between these. As if to say they're one meeting. As if to say they're all intertwined. They're not separated from one another. So if you have a meeting Wednesday night, it's in this meeting. It's in expressing it in the breaking of bread. So if I'm expressing breaking of bread on Sunday, but I'm not really expressing the rest of the time, I'm not truly expressing what that loaf means and what we are coming together means. You see, they're all interconnected. But then it goes on beyond that. When we read the later verses, it doesn't just take in, well, we come together on Lord's Day. We come together on Wednesday. We come together at conference. Everyday life was an expression. They ate together. Here, I think the breaking of bread from house to house is not the actual Lord's Supper other than having a meal together. They had things in common. They were concerned for one another. So if I'm faithful to all these formal meetings, but I'm never there for my brother when he needs me, I'm never there when there's a counseling session, I'm never there this way or that way, I'm not expressing the fullness of what we display in the breaking of bread. Assembly life is a practical life. It is something daily. It is not something that you turn on Sunday, turn on Wednesday or Tuesday, and turn off Thursday morning. It is an everyday life, and I think this is what they were expressing. Not one meeting was greater than the other, not one was diminished from the other. But every aspect of their lives was an expression of what they did on Sunday when they broke bread. And that is what expressed outwardly that when we get to Acts 10 or 11, they were called Christians for the first time in Antioch. Because it wasn't just because of where they attended. It was their whole lifestyle was a witness to what they were.
Brother, question.